Welcome to The Marketing Menu, the delicious podcast with regular, relevant content to help your business grow and thrive. Jargon-free, easy-to-understand marketing tools with effective tips and tricks, and guaranteed no cheese.
Hi everybody, it's Nikki and Liz here from The Marketing Menu, bringing you our latest podcast, which this week is all about how to market your events. But first, we've got to talk about KFC or Kentucky Fried Chicken, don't we, Liz?
I'm always willing to talk about KFC, in fairness. I am. It's my desert island food.
Really?
Yeah, if I was stranded on a desert island, I'd want KFC.
I did not know that about you, Liz. I'm not sure I wanted to, but hey-ho, listeners, we'll move on. So tell us more. I mean, because, you know, it was sort of an interesting thing that I saw on Facebook and Twitter, and I was curious to know what your thoughts might have been about it.
Yeah, well, we've been watching how they've managed their recent chicken delivery crisis, and to be honest, it has proved to be a bit of a masterclass in public relations.
Well, they certainly acted quickly and actually used some humour, I thought, in a very clever way to diffuse the situation. Did you see that it said something about the chicken crossing the road but not to their restaurants?
Yeah. See, using self-deprecating humour, if it's used properly, it can work really well. And they did put out an apology with an image of a bucket and the KFC initials rearranged to almost spell an expletive.
I almost missed that, actually, on first look, so that's interesting.
They also thanked their staff for their hard work, which really reinforced that team feeling and that everyone was in it together. Their crisis PR worked a real treat, so well done, KFC.
Okay, so back to this week's podcast, and we know a lot of listeners do run events, or maybe even thinking about it, to promote or launch their products. So we thought it could be a timely time to share some experience.
And our very recent experience, Nikki.
Yes, because we've been putting together, obviously, our free workshops in the Bournemouth and Southampton area, which are now full, which is fantastic.
Yay. So where do we start?
Okay, so we're presuming you've already agreed the where and the when the event's going to be. So how do you actually get people to it? Obviously, your website's going to be the first port of call for anybody wanting to know what it's all about. So you could create a separate landing page or use Eventbrite, which actually we're very keen on.
Yeah, we've been quite impressed with that.
Yeah. To be honest, using your own website is probably preferable. You probably want to do both, as hopefully people will obviously have a look around the rest of the site whilst they're there.
Good point. But what is key for either of those is to make sure you have really clear details about your event. So what it is, when, where and why. It doesn't need to be very wordy, as you can create an email stream to go out once people have booked, if they're booking via your site.
Yes. Yeah, so refer back to our last podcast, 25, which is all about that, actually, email marketing, for help with that, especially how to craft a killer subject line and what time and day to send it.
Seamless cross-promotion there, Nikki. Well done.
Thank you. But of course, you will still want to email out your existing database too, so don't forget to include an important call to action, which may be the clicking of a link to your website or to book, or you may just ask for an RSVP directly in response to the email.
Then, of course, we wouldn't be The Marketing Menu if we didn't mention planning at least once in a podcast.
Okay.
You need to plan your content and key messages,
which must be consistent.
Yes, indeed they do. This includes detail about any speakers you may have invited. You'll also need to create an image for your event, which may or may not include your logo. You could use this image to replace your social media headings for the duration of the promotion to highlight it even more.
Yeah, and then consider which platforms you're obviously going to use for promotion. We've obviously mentioned Eventbrite as being one of them. Are you going to use videos? These are obviously a great way to tell people about what's happening. Have taster interviews perhaps with the speakers, provide some testimonials or introduce your product or service. Do listen to podcast 22 actually on some top tips of how to maximise the video opportunity.
Because you want to start building a buzz about your event as soon as you can.
And in your plan, you're going to need to consider how often you're going to send these emails. Are you going to include, say, an early bird offer if you're expecting payment for the event? If so, then you're going to need to spend a couple of months in advance and then make sure that you are following it up with regular intervals to build up that sort of FOMO or fear of missing out if they don't book early.
Yeah, obviously social media should be an important part of your event marketing activity, so you could create a hashtag specific to your event. Now, Don't be too obscure, but you also don't want to create one that's already in use. So just do a search to find out.
And not one that's too long either. Very long
hashtags.
It takes
up too many characters.
Absolutely. Yeah. So keep it short and sweet because you're going to be using it everywhere. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, you name it. Plus, of course, you want your attendees to use it when they're actually at the event so that it needs, you know, needs to obviously be easy to remember and use.
Then you need to post the bejesus out of it. Remember, particularly on Twitter, it is only really seen by whoever happens to be on their timeline at that time. So don't be scared to post more frequently than you usually do. The key is to vary your content. Don't keep saying the same thing, otherwise people will get bored.
And you could use, obviously, scheduling tools like Buffer or Hootsuite, if you're not already using those, to pre-prepare those tweets, which will actually save you a lot of time.
Yeah, and don't forget LinkedIn. That's a great place to promote business events. But remember to highlight your event with a sort of post that gives people more information on the topic that you're addressing, just to pique their interest. You could try local groups on LinkedIn too, using the same tactic. So you're driving all the traffic from emails and social media to your website landing page. What's next?
Okay, well, you have to think, obviously, about having a thank you page set up so that, you know, that they're directed to that after they've registered, and make sure you've given them the opportunity to share the information as well. You know, so like when they've booked on Eventbrite, perhaps a pop-up box is displayed, giving them the opportunity to share the fact that you've booked on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, for example.
Yeah, I've seen that. It says tell people you're attending, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah.
So before we go on to the next steps, just a reminder that you're listening to the Marketing Menu podcast, which is available on iTunes, Blueberry, Stitcher, TuneIn, and now SoundCloud.
SoundCloud as well. Another day, another platform, Liz.
Indeed. We're spreading the word. So don't forget to subscribe.
Yeah, you can also download directly from our website, themarketingmenu.com, where we also offer a free transcript of what's being said, which could actually work as a bit of a checklist for your event marketing.
Oh, very clever. So where were we?
So let's share some more ways to promote your event. Now, if you blog, or even if you don't, this is a great way of showcasing more information about the event and the people involved. Now, your speakers may be willing to do one, which can also be used to generate some interest. And whilst we think about it, don't forget to follow up your key people on social media. Make sure you're including details about them in your posts so that they can share that with their followers.
Very good point. You could also pre-prepare some tweets for them to use. I work with a charity who take part in a national promotion, and it's really useful to have the pre-written post to copy and paste. So
that's
this
true.
National organisation sends you a list of ones that you
can
use.
Idea.
So, and don't forget to include the hashtag. Perhaps we should explain that the significance of the hashtag is that anyone searching for it will come across a timeline of all the tweets using it, which of course is great for a live event.
Yeah, I like hashtags. So next you will need to think about obviously press releases and where you're going to send them. So is it a local event or one of a more national interest? Should you perhaps contact specialists or trade magazines or journals? Remember that they may have a long lead-in time, perhaps up to 3 to 6 months in advance. So don't waste time targeting them if your event is just a couple of months' time. Do check first, I guess is what I'm saying.
Absolutely. So it's the day of your event. How can you continue to maximise the marketing potential out of it?
Well, obviously, this is where live coverage is a great way to keep the buzz going and build a sense of community. Live tweeting, giving a running commentary of what's going on, writing up sound bites that you pick up from attendees, announcing each speaker as they take their turn, recording some of their key phrases. There's so much content,
yeah,
really, that we really need to get quite savvy and use it.
Yeah.
You probably need to nominate somebody else who's going to do it, because you're going to probably be a bit distracted, but they need to know obviously what they're doing, and they need to understand your business so that they represent it really well.
Yeah, totally. And not forgetting Facebook Live. I love it,
I have to say. Good at it.
And it's easy, but you do have to prepare people. It might be that your speakers or some of your attendees, if you're going to interview them beforehand, put them at their ease. So just outline what your question's going to be beforehand and keep it short.
Make sure they haven't had to drink too many as well.
Very true.
The great thing about video is that you can obviously save it and then use it later in promotions as well.
Yes, excellent opportunity.
So we've taken it for granted that listeners will be taking photographs, but it's really important and it may be worth hiring perhaps a professional to take the pressure off, I think. These images can obviously then be used in follow-up marketing for your website, social media, blogs, PR, whatever.
The works. Nikki, can we talk about evaluation forms?
Do we have to?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. However, they are a great way of getting feedback, and you can get quite creative in the way that it's done.
Oh, you're joking. I've seen some horrendous examples. Pages of long, detailed questions, and it's the last thing that really that you want to do, but I think people do it out of a sense of, feeling a bit beholden. But I have seen some great examples of getting people's comments. One event I was at encouraged people to write a few words on post-it notes and then stick them up on a large piece of paper stuck to the wall.
Yeah, brilliant. I've also tried giving people a sticky dot
that
they can use and then put on a whiteboard as they exit as to whether they found the event very enjoyable or not for me. But you can just adjust the words to fit.
Yeah.
Makes it fun.
Yeah, makes it put a big smiley face up.
Yeah.
And do it. Yeah, good into three. You could also try using the Net Promoter Score, which I believe we detailed a long time ago now in podcast 11,
wow.
Gaining fabulous feedback. So if listeners are interested in this, do pop over there after this podcast.
Great idea.
But the important thing, I suppose, is to collate all this information and then use it in the important post-event marketing.
Which brings us back to public relations. Okay. If your press release wasn't featured, just to submit one, a post-event release is another opportunity to raise awareness of what you do.
And I guess the benefit of a post-event release is that you actually have now the evidence, including any quotes from your speakers and testimonials from guests.
And don't give up on the social media immediately after the event, although it may be tempting to do so because you'll have spent so long promoting it. But you can drip feed some of those testimonials to support your other key messages.
And finally, don't forget to follow up with those all-important thank you emails to everybody who attended, including individually to the speakers if you had them. You could use this opportunity to give them further news on other events, new products or offers perhaps you've got in the pipeline.
That actually brings up an important point, Nikki, the importance of outcomes. You must always have a clear goal about what it is that you are hoping to get from your event. What do you aim to achieve? Your event should never just be about giving people free information. You should always aim for a decision to be made on something at the end of the meeting and explain to attendees what the outcome is that you're hoping for. And here I don't mean simply flogging stuff. For example, is it to gain an introductory meeting, a further exploratory meeting, to gather information that can be used further, to identify issues, or to canvas support?
Yes, I mean, it could be you're looking for some research and stuff from your audience. That's very important. So remember at all times, events do cost money, and they do take an awful amount of time to put together, which in turn, does have a cost to it. So think of some creative ways you can capture the information on the day, and always consider what the primary purpose of the event is, and how you can weave this into those all-important, I mention again, calls to action.
Finally, Nikki, shall we have a look at post-event evaluation? Because you have put together a very special download on this, haven't you?
Yes, I have. There is a post-event evaluation template, if listeners would like one, by popping over to our website at themarketingmenu.com/eventmarketing. Now, this covers important stuff like whether the event was on message, whether you had the right number of people turn up, whether the presentations were good enough, as well as the obvious things like, venue specifics. It's important, I think, that people running events really get into the habit of completing these forms. Often, I think, sometimes after the event, you're a bit on a high.
That's
and
right.
It's like, a bit self-congratulatory.
Yeah, and it's
but
not
you
realistic.
Forget over a period of time, you really need to focus again on the outcomes relevant to the business goals and also ensure that, people don't forget the facts surrounding the event.
Yeah, and it also looks at that much-used term, return on investment, doesn't it?
Yeah, so think about how much time and energy, as well as money, it costs to put on an event and whether or not indeed they are worth running. Now, obviously, some companies will be running events, say, for a different reason over smaller startup companies who are in all probability looking to raise awareness and probably sales. A larger corporation may be looking to demonstrate good corporate governance or to increase exposure. The emphasis here will be less on perhaps return on investment in terms of pounds and pence, but more on whether the event has the right exposure and positioning. Do you get what I mean?
I do indeed. That's brilliant stuff. Well, listeners, that brings us to the end of this week's podcast. Don't forget to head over to the website, if you're not on there now, to download your free template. We hope you've enjoyed hearing more about how to maximise the opportunities when marketing your event. We know it works because we've done it.
Yes, thanks for tuning in, listeners. We know there are loads of podcasts and webinars out there, and we've specifically designed the marketing menu to offer practical, accessible marketing ideas that you can put into practice easily.
And just to let you know, if you're in the Dorset or Hampshire areas, we're running 3 marketing workshops in April, May and June. So have a look at our website, themarketingmenu.com, for more details.
And thanks. So let's tune in again on the 7th of March for our next podcast. It's a goodbye from me, Nikki Matthews.
And a goodbye from me, Liz Gordon. Goodbye.
You've been listening to The Marketing Menu, brought to you by Nikki Matthews and Liz Gordon. Episodes are every 2 weeks on Wednesdays. Please share, subscribe, or add reviews, and stay in touch for more bite-sized marketing tasters for growing businesses.